Illuminat with special guests, Meduse. Tickets $15 in advance at blueskiesturnblack.com, $20 at the door. Doors at 6:30, a co-presentation of CKUT.
Good morning, Montreal. You are tuned to the Wednesday Morning After on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. We have a full show for you today with two pre-recorded interviews from arts and culture and one from music. The first interview is with Zoe and Sebastian of L'Organisme with their project L'Interface. A temporal and telemetric dance presentation, L'Interface explores the boundaries of reality. The second interview is with musician Alexandra Moreno, with her new album, Temperance. Alexandra is launching her latest single, Mirror. The third interview is with dance artist Matthew for his presentation of Monsieur Gross, a piece that explores the lives of detectives and criminals. 8 o'clock brings Democracy Now!, 8:15 brings Weather, and after some music, we'll visit the podcast In the Shower with Taz and Marcus for this week's question: why do some countries drive on the right-hand side and some on the left? After some more music, we'll wrap up the show. Let's start the day off with some music.
I'm not afraid to die. Throughout the pandemic, our kids have shown how strong, patient, and resilient they can be. But now, it's time for them to make memories again. With family and friends, with teammates, with peers. Vaccination against COVID-19 can help kids get back to being kids. Help protect your child and those around them. Book your child's vaccination when it's available to them. A message from the Government of Canada.
Linterface is an exploration and creation lab intended for digital experimentation in dance, a virtual space to be appropriated by artists who wish to investigate new areas of creation, work, and reflect on digital media. With us today, we have Sebastian and Zoe from Linterface. Hi, Sebastian and Zoe, and welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi.
First, please introduce yourselves and tell us how you came to be involved in Linterface.
Hi, I'm Sebastian Vauchy. I'm a choreographer, dancer, and curator, and I'm a member of L'Organisme, which created the project of Linterface.
Amazing. Hello, I'm Zoe. I'm a dance artist, and I came to be involved in Linterface because a dear friend and colleague of mine, Anne Thériault, who is also a member of L'Organisme with Sebastian, invited me to be a part of it as an artist in residence on the platform.
What is your artistic expertise and what do you do for Linterface?
As one of the artists of L'Organisme, I'm one of the two artists that thought about the project with Caroline Lorrain-Bocage. With the other members of L'Organisme, we thought about platform, and Caroline and I investigated more about the research around the project. And with the team of L'Organisme, Sylvie Lavoie and Mélanie Carpentier, we created this project that we had the funding from Le Conseil des Arts et des Lettres du Québec. and also from the Conseil des Arts du Canada for the next year also. So for this year, I'll be one of the curator, but I'll be mostly in dialogue with the emerging artists that are coming this winter on Interface.
Wonderful. Sheila, for me, my art practice and my studies have been centered around live stream technology and telematic dancing. So telematic dancing just being dance sharing or dance performance that's connecting remote locations via technology. So I've spent some time thinking about how live stream technology opens up space in which we exist and act and perform, and how our bodies sort of respond to this. So because this was my field of interest previous, you know, in those pre-pandemic times, that was, I think, why I have been invited to participate in l'Interface. So I have my 3-month residency, and I will be, I guess I'll talk a bit later about what exactly I'm doing during the residency.
What are you involved in, Zoe, right now in your residency?
Right now I'm 2 months into my 3-month residency. And l'Interface as a platform, it offers basically the possibility of exploring as many different avenues and interests as an artist chooses within the time frame. Concretely, I've been spending a lot of time alone in dance studios, and basically everything that I'm doing in there is trying to sort out for myself how my dance practice can exist on the internet. So different things have been happening. One thing that's been happening is that I've been working with multiple large mirrors on wheels that I'm rolling around and using that sort of as a way to consider myself in two dimensions, in a multiple and fragmented kind of way, dealing with what feels like infinite reflections of myself, or dance improvisations that basically are trying to reconcile the difference between like a shiny, clean, plastic 2D image versus something that feels more complicated and messy and three-dimensional in my felt dancing body. I've also been singing. I've been considering the history of home videos and trying to understand some of the technology behind those. And most recently, I've been collaborating with a Montreal filmmaker, Guillaume Vallée, with whom I share an interest in sort of thinking about the dematerialization of the body and its rematerialization as telematic image. And we're working with different video formats from Super 8 to 3D HD and live circuit streaming, and we're having fun. That's some of the stuff I've been doing.
What are your plans for the future, Zoe?
My plans for the future are to continue with these themes that I'm working with now, with my dancing and with my dance video explorations. I'm also starting to be able to imagine how these explorations might exist in a live and person performance context. And I've also been having kind of a big realization, thinking about how for me dance is most often a response. I feel like dance for me is a response to music or sound or light or possibility offered by space or possibilities offered in gathering. So I'm thinking about designing space in order to design dance, and this has been feeling exciting, and I guess I'm seeing many pathways forward for my dance creation practice.
What is l'Interface?
L'Interface is an exploratory and creative lab created for the digital experimentation in dance. Virtual world where dance artists can investigate new territories, work and think around new ideas, around new medias. Focuses more on the visibility of the process instead of the result. In that sense, by following the Journal de Création, the public is then invited to follow the creative process of the artists. It can take form in several manners, depending of which artist is invited on the platform. Basically, we invite several artists in rotation in a year on the platform to investigate and research for a small period of time by giving them time and funding to be able to explore through digital world. And the artists are supported by us, by the team from l'Interface, to be able to dive into those explorations. This year, we have three long-term residency, 3 months each. And Zoe is the first artist in residency on the platform from August to October 2021. And we also have three small residencies for emerging artists starting this December. And we also have one international artist in November. So in the company, we're five members. So we, in a rotation, we each invite an artist to have a dialogue with the resident artist on the platform. Yeah, so you can follow the creative process through the journal and through the pages posted on l'interfacedance.com.
Tell us about l'organisme.
So l'organisme is a singular vehicle that is now 10 years old. It's born with the conviction that the single choreographer organizational model needed to be rethought in a context where the driving up and the art funding continues, and even with the increase of the choreographers and talent, supports remains frozen. So through the years, we have been thinking about a company that can imagine creating in a group, creating with people in an area where the time of creation is sacrificed by administrative duties and competitiveness eats away at us and isolates us. We had imagined a zone where other artists would become catalyzers instead of competitors, a space in which the strength of all contributes to the community. So l'organisme raison d'être is to build up a solidarity and in between people and to make sure we have a structure that helps us create in our own individual way, but have a community to be able to communicate together. So as a member of the company, I joined in 2020. So it has been 2 years that I have been a member of the company. And in the company, we think about a model where disciplines can meet together. So we have been doing workshops that we invite artists from other disciplines to come and to think about the practice in collaboration with dance. We're currently five members in the company. Caroline Lorrain-Boucage, Amélie Rajot, Anne Thériault, Sovan Prontep, and myself, Sébastien Poirier.
Why did you choose to develop this project, Minterface?
We started to think about the project in the first lockdown during the pandemic here in Quebec. As artists, we were told to rethink, reimagine ways of creating and investigate the virtual world. The financial support was really limited for artists, and it was mostly through Instagram, Facebook. And so we thought it would be interesting to have a platform to have a dialogue for the artists through the web. Some dance artists were interested in intermedia before the pandemic, but for sure it gave some desires to a lot of creators to be more present on the web. So we thought it would be a good way to have a platform for dance artists to be able to research and to think about the virtual world. Thought it would be interesting for us as dance artists that to have a place where we can navigate through this world.
What is the importance in society of projects like L'Interface at this point in time?
Well, maybe I will answer. If we can acknowledge that more and more of our lives are happening on the internet, I feel that dance and art body practices are super well placed to experiment and consider the particular space and context of the internet, and maybe to help better understand what online presence is and what it means for the body to be more and more often in representation, sort of inhabiting virtual space in two dimensions. You know, pre-pandemic, there was already quite a push to get the arts considering technology and digital presence. So the funding bodies were sort of asking artists to try to reach larger audiences using digital frameworks. And there was sort of a focus on innovation and technological advancement through artistic exploration and research. Then during the pandemic, as Sébastien was mentioning, you know, we were forced to adapt. And I think even artists who were maybe resistant to this technological impetus had to sort of share and communicate in online space. So, I mean, I feel that it's not as simple as maybe just videotaping or live streaming the thing, the dance, the art that you were already making. So for a lot of artists, you know, changing their performance context is like fundamentally shifting their practice. And there's lots to consider. There's often a camera involved. So worth having to think about, you know, point of view and framing and image quality, and maybe thinking about the fact that art viewers are like taking in the work in a multitude of states and settings and availabilities. There's also, you know, there's an entire history of two-dimensional video dance and telematic dance practice. So maybe artists want to take a bit of time to align or situate themselves within those practices and histories. I think all of this and more, you know, these considerations take time. So having a space like L'Interface is like, yes, 100% very important, so that artists can take time to consider how their practices can be on the internet.
How long will L'Interface run, and what are your plans for the project's future?
For now, our activities, we have funding for 2 years for the project. So we plan on, which means about like 14 to 15 artists that will create and will be invited on the platform. So we want to make this for sure durable in time. And we hope that it can evolve and change through time. For sure, it's going to be different depending on the artists who are invited. The platform is going to change through time, but for sure we have, for now, we're going to run for two years, and we'll see after. But for sure, we plan to make it happen in the future also.
How does the subscription to L'Organisme work?
On the website of L'Interface, you just have to create an account to log in and to be able to follow the journals on the website. So you'll have emails, and you'll be posted about when the artists post things on L'Interface. So we have a journal where artists are invited to post whatever they want on the platform. So when you log in, then you could see what's happening on the journal. We also have videos from the choreographers that are in dialogue, from L'Organisme, that are in dialogue with the resident artists, that also have videos of their work, so you can access to the work. So this subscription is $30 per year. So what it means is just support for the platform and support for the artists for their work. And you can also have the Super Geek subscription, that is a donation for the artists and for the platform, basically for the platform to be able to continue to run this. So it's a donation of $100 that you could give also on the platform. So you have three different subscriptions you can access for free for the journals, but you can also support and see works from the artists if you subscribe also and give money to the platform.
If our listeners want more information, where should they go?
The website, l'interfacedance.com, dance like in French, D-A-N-S-E, fastdance.com. So you can have information. You can also follow us, L'Organisme, on Facebook or on the website. And we also have an Instagram from L'Interface also that you can have information on it.
Okay, well, thank you for your interview today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sheila.
You've been listening to Sébastien and Zoe speaking about their project L'Interface from L'Organisme. I'm your host, Sheila Ferrando.
Early in the morning, before the sun rose, when the first bird sang, even while everyone was still asleep.
Morning. On that morning.
When
cock-a-doodle-doo. I hear the rooster crowing.
Now you must wake up.
Now every morning when I wake up,
I woke up this morning with
the kiss of the morning.
Got up 7:30 every morning. Had the same breakfast.
Réveillez-moi à 8 heures demain matin.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Riding a bike made of bacon and eggs.
In the morning.
In the morning.
Why should the sun replace the moonlight?
Has this ever happened to any of you? Or will it happen to any of you on the morning after the night before?
You are listening to The Morning After on CKUT 90.3 on the FM dial.
Indie Montreal and IMTL Press is excited to announce that singer-songwriter Alexandra Moreno will release the single Mirror on October 1st. The track is off her upcoming album, Temperance, due out on October 22nd. With us today, we have Alexandra Moreno. Hi, Alexandra, and welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
First, please introduce yourself and tell us how you came to write and produce your album, Temperance.
The writing process started back in 2018. So most of the songs have been written over the years. Recording the album itself, I started recording it this year in 2021. So part of it was remote, and for the rest of it, it was in Montreal in different studios with different producers.
How would you describe your parentage, and how does this influence your music?
I was born in Montreal. My mother is a Francophone and my father was Peruvian. So it does influence the way that I write because this album is bilingual. And so for sure, writing in French for me is just much more natural than writing in English, but spending 2 years in Vancouver and also studying translation in the past is what made me very, I would say, interested in the way that the process from one language to another, how it's interesting the images that you can create because of the thinking differently based on your main language. So yeah, it does influence my writing process for sure.
Who helped produce Temperance and what was unique about their work?
I worked with three different producers. Mélanie Friselli worked on Un vol pour ma tête. So the way she worked, we did the whole song remotely. So she was in Montreal and I was in Vancouver. So it was my first experience and it was very interesting to work remotely completely. So many different challenges came with the remote process, but also it's interesting that you can just do it as many times as you want because you're working with your own computer in your own studio, which is different than when you're recording in an actual studio. So that was with Mélanie and then with Alex Métivier, who is also Alex Météor. I recorded 4 songs in French with them and they were recorded in Montreal. So yes, Alex Métivier has his own way of producing. And then with Isabelle Banas, part of it was remote and part of it was in Montreal as well. So yeah, it was very interesting to experience the remote part and also the in-person part.
Mirror is the latest single off of your album. What is the story behind this song?
The inspiration came from the dynamic in my past relationship, I would say, but also in different friendships. I realized at some point I was becoming some sort of mirror for the other person. And it was like I was just reflecting things that they didn't want to see. And so they would be blaming me for something. And then, yeah, I was just kind of sad, I guess, of the situation of them not being able to see me for who I really am, which is not their enemy. It's just like a reflection. So that is the story behind the song.
May we hear some of your music?
Absolutely.
This is Mirror on the Wednesday Morning After. Vol de ma tête is another piece from Temperance. What is the story behind this song?
So I came to write this song. I started it when I was traveling in Vancouver and the rest of Canada in 2019. And then the whole song actually came to me when I was in San Diego on a beach with my guitar. And I was just, it was such a beautiful moment, just enjoying the sun and the ocean. And that's when all the words came and the melody, and it kind of stayed the same the whole time. Of course, with the production and the different instruments that we added, it did evolve a lot, but the main, I would say, yeah, melody and the lyrics stayed the same since that day in San Diego.
May we hear some more of your music?
Yes, I would love to.
This is En Vol de ma tête on CKUT. If listeners want more information or to buy your music, where should they go?
So the songs Mirror and Un Vol pour ma tête are available everywhere on all platforms. When the album comes out on October 22nd, it will also be available everywhere. And you can also buy it on iTunes, Bandcamp. So the main, I would say the hub for all of this is my website. So it's www.morenoalexandra.com.
Thank you for your interview today.
Thank you so much for having me.
You have been listening to Alexandra Moreno speaking about her band and her music. I am your host, Sheila Ferrando.
Sarah's excited to celebrate her birthday at a restaurant. She's thought about it all week. She invited her friends. She got a new dress. She went to the restaurant. She wasn't allowed in the restaurant. She had to put away her new dress. She couldn't see her friends. And she thought about it all week.
Don't wait until it hits you. Get vaccinated. A vaccination passport is now required to enter certain public spaces.
A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Evolutional and Protean Work 2020, Mr. Gross. This new piece is inspired by the Canadian investigative technique known as Mr. Big, whereby an undercover police officer obtains the confession of a suspect in an unsolved serious crime. Mr. Gross is an attempt to stage a contemporary artistic flora using spy scripts executed by shape-shifting characters, living sculptures, dual weapons, and an eclectic sound environment. A performance that addresses identity issues related to surveillance, infiltration, wiretapping, theft of ideas, and copying, while recalling the classics of investigative games. With us today, we have Mathieu of Monsieur Gross. Hi, Mathieu, and welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
First, please introduce yourself and tell us how you came to be involved in Monsieur Gross.
Oh, yeah, it's natural for me because I'm a member of the Duo Geneviève et Mathieu, who started working in the late 90s. So I'm simply the co-creator of this new piece. And I'm working with Geneviève Crépeau, who is also my partner in art and in life. So, yeah, it's natural. So we worked together for a while on art project that mix visual art, performance, music. And so that's it. It's, you know, Monsieur Gros, it's a kind of a big happening. There's some musical composition in this show, performance. It's also a art installation. So this project could be presented in, also in gallery and artist front center or as in a theater like La Chapelle. So we are really excited about that.
Where did you grow up and how did this influence your work?
Yes, I grew up in Rouyn-Noranda in Abitibi-Témiscamingue. It's a region located northwest of Montreal, about 600 kilometers north. So we still live there and we work there too. So, but now just for 4 months, we're in Montreal working on this project. So, and yes, Rouyn-Noranda has an influence on our works for sure, because, you know, for example, one of our last project called La Jamaisie was influenced by a trip that we made in the north between Rouyn-Noranda and Chichasibi at the James Bay. So after this trip, we produced a new corpus of artworks, new text and music. So yes, there's an influence in our works. And also we have to travel lots of kilometers for the presentation of our projects. So we always working with this in our mind. So for example, we use a fabric that we can easily put in our car, use video music. So yeah, it's always in our mind that we have to travel a lot. So we also interested in art video, because that could easily travel, you know, to festival and all around the world. This new works, Monsieur Gros will take the form of an experimental performance film also. So we'll shoot this to 22. So yes, it's for us, Rouyn-Noranda is a big influence for us.
Who is involved in the piece and what does everyone do?
Yes, there's also there's me in the piece, but there's also Geneviève Crépeau, who is the co-creator, and she's a member of Geneviève et Mathieu. She's playing for in this show a really weird character who sings and cries. And there's also Stéphane Saint-Laurent, who is an artist and a friend of us. He's also a curator, and he will play a kind of judge who ate contemporary art. There's also Dominique Petrin, who is an artist. She will play kind of artist with camouflage. She will hiding in our piece for all the show. We're also working with Peter James, but Peter James is not on the stage. He's our mentor. You know, he's helping us creation of the show. And there's also Guillaume Lafontaine-Moisin, who is the technical director.
What is the story that you are telling in Monsieur Gros?
Yeah, Monsieur Gros is a bizarre story. It's a story of espionage, investigation. And we'll try to find the artist who's still hiding, you know. But it's a big tableau vivant. It's only Canva. It is a really experimental narration. So Monsieur Gros is like a kind of maybe a big crazy game of Clue with character and this deconstructed song, poetry, And there's really lots of improvisation in this show. So Mr. Gru is more, it's more like a big metaphor, you know, if the young and the restless meets, you know, David Lynch, Twin Peaks, you know, this could be a good description of the show.
How does Monsieur Gros speak to our cultural values?
Yeah, like you said in the introduction, Monsieur Gros is a performance that addresses identity issues, issues are related to source infiltration, thief of ID, copying. So for us, this is really important because these days it's easy to find stuff on the internet. So for us, so we work. We perform on the stage with that state of mind, you know, which influence the way we act and work. Like I said, Monsieur Gros is a big tableau vivant. It could be a hard installation too, and we are working in this space for a while. It's also it's a free performance because there's lots of room for improvisation in this project. Everything is not calculated, you know, it's really, there's lots of liberty for us in this show. So this freedom for us is essential. It is good that La Chapelle takes that kind of risk, you know, and they trust us in this new experimental piece. So yeah, so it will be a kind of big tableau vivant.
May we listen to an excerpt from the piece?
Yes, you have one?
Yes, this is Monsieur Gros on the Wednesday morning after.
Thank you.
Hey.
Regarde, je sombre.
Ce sont les nouvelles mélancolies?
Non, un mélange de textes guitare.
Ah, ok. C'est le début d'opération, Mr. Big. Nous trouverons l'artiste copieur. Et s'il le faut, nous chercherons parmi les membres.
On va-tu aux poubelles, puis on revient?
Oui, ça me tente. J'en ai long à dire.
How do you feel when you're with your partner on stage performing, Mr. Grove?
Yeah, me and Geneviève have been working together for over 20 years, so we trust each other, and we know each other. We know our strengths, our weaknesses. But most of the work is in our studio, you know, before we are going on stage. So yeah, for sure, there's some conflicts sometimes, conflicts of IDs, stress and fatigue. So, you know, because we also manage our everyday life. We have a son, you know, so this is big for us. But each time for me, it's a change to share the stage with the woman that I love. So it's good. It's good. It's good on stage. When everything is going well, it's so good to share that with Geneviève.
Where and when will Monsieur Gros be presented?
Yeah, tickets are available at lachapelle.org. And the show is from October 12th to October 15th. And also is a part of Phenomena Festival.
If our listeners want more information, where should they go?
Chapelle.org is everything about the show. There's a text in French and also in English. So yeah, that's the place.
Well, thank you for your interview today.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Mathieu speaking about his latest work, Monsieur Gros. I am your host, Sheila Ferrando.
Take a little warning.
What we are gonna bring?
We need some old school loving.
I da da di thing.
We don't wanna go sing no horsing.
No play no games.
A father figure for the children.
You don't know your place.
We need a teacher, a farmer, a logical mind, a leader strong and willing to free up your mind. We don't wanna sleep and no pray. And we want a real thing. We have an open mind. Athleticism.
I feel you deeply. I know that you're my warrior king.
It's hard to
conceive. You're my one and only king.
No matter where you are, I know that you will often think of me. Doesn't seem that you're too far when you are often in my. Someone for love me and hold me
when life is on camp.
For put my head on their shoulders
so I can unwind.
For hold a reason, a season.
I doubt that it thing.
I wanna ride or die.
I doubt you could bring
someone for walk by my side and not in front of me. For hold my hand so tight with me anxiety. But I'm on so wide where I could fall asleep. But give me joy inside when he's protective of me. I feel you deeply.
I know that you're my warrior king.
It's hard to conceive.
You're my one and only king.
No matter where you are, I know that you will often think of me. Doesn't seem that you're too far when you are often in my. But no one on my for come around me. Screw up me mind, we have a clean heart, a pure soul, and mind so divine. We want a doctor, a lawyer, a banker too. A teacher, a lover, it could be you. We want a plumber, a drummer, a bus driver, mechanic, you don't know, we have the answer. We don't want a stuck up boy, we don't want a coward man. We are the king and queen, you have to overstand. We are gonna plant the seeds in the motherland. If you want real love, we have to make a plan.
That you're my warrior king.
It's hard to conceive.
You're my one and only king.
No matter where you are, I know that you will often think of me. Doesn't seem that you're too far when you are often in my. Someone to love me and hold me
when life is unkind.
To put my head on their shoulders
so I can unwind.
For what a reason, a season.
I doubt that it takes.
I wanna ride or die.
I doubt it will bring
someone to walk by my side and not in front of me. For hold my hand so tight with me anxiety. With a mouth so wide where I could fall asleep. Where give me joy inside when he's protective of me. I feel you deeply.
I know that you're my warrior king.
It's hard to
see, you're my one and only king.
No matter where you are, I know that you will often think of me. Doesn't seem that you're too far when you are often in my dreams.
You're tuned in to the Wednesday Morning After Show with your host, Sheila Ferrando, and sound by Mathieu Jackson on Radio CKUT 90.3 FM, Montreal, or online at ckut.ca.
Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Facebook whistleblower Frances Haugen's testifying on Capitol Hill today, expected to call on lawmakers to take action against Facebook for the harm it poses to its users and the world. According to her prepared remarks, she'll say, quote, "When we realized tobacco companies were hiding the harms it caused, the government took action. When we figured out cars were safer with seatbelts, the government took action. And today, the government is taking action against companies that hid evidence on opioids. I implore you to do the same here." Haugen's testimony comes a day after Facebook, WhatsApp, and Instagram suffered a six-hour outage, disrupting online communication across the globe. We'll have more on Facebook after headlines. Johnson & Johnson has asked the Food and Drug Administration to authorize booster shots for its coronavirus vaccine. An FDA advisory panel will review the request at a meeting next week when it might also consider a booster shot from Moderna. Meanwhile, AstraZeneca has requested emergency use authorization from the FDA for its coronavirus antibody therapy, which the company claims reduces the chances of developing COVID by 77%. In other pandemic news, the largest healthcare network in New York State, Northwell, has fired about 1,400 workers who refused to get vaccinated. That's less than 2% of its staff. The state is mandating vaccines for all hospital and nursing home workers. While COVID cases continue to fall in much of the country, many areas remain in crisis. In California, the National Guard's been deployed to help overwhelmed hospitals in rural areas and allow